TMZ TV.
One of these days, I gotta finish Matthew 24 so I can bring you the big revelation. Tentatively, I'll be doing that tomorrow. That's assuming I finish Revelation chapter 4 today. In the meantime, I got a little Hermie the Elf curl on my forehead. I hope you think it's cute. I like it myself. Now, Matthew 24, verse 32. Now, from the fig tree, learn a parable. Jesus is taking whatever is at hand, and he teaches from it, using the common things. And he says, now, whenever its bough may already be becoming tender and the leaves sprouting out, you know that summer is near. This is Sunday school. This is the simplest lesson you can learn. And how people can read this and then say that, well, we just won't know when the end's coming. Nobody knows, Martin. You've been telling us that you think you know when the kingdom is coming. Yeah, I learned a lesson from the fig, the parable, that when you see the fig tree in a certain way, that is, the boughs becoming tender, the leaves sprouting out, you know that summer is near. Now, I don't know anything about figs, but I'm assuming that the Israelites would know. It would be like Jesus saying to someone in Ohio, when you see people in swimming pools and people are having picnics outside and you hear lawnmowers going back and forth on the lawn, then you will know that the season is near. Everybody in Ohio goes, yeah, sure. If you're living in Antarctica, you wouldn't know what he was talking about, maybe. But the people in Israel would know exactly that. Well, here's the main point. Jesus goes on to say, thus you also, whenever you may perceiving all these things, know that he is near at the door. So, he's telling them that there will be things to look for so that they will be able to tell when the Son of Man will be coming in the glory and the power, when the heavens are shaken and the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven and the tribes grieve, and the Son of Man comes on the clouds of heaven with much power and glory. See, that hasn't happened yet. I know this might be a shock to the preterists who think that all these things happened in 70 AD. If you don't know what a preterist is, good. Don't try to find out. I'm only using the term. I hate theological terms of all kinds because I'm accommodating this group of people who think that the entire book of Revelation is figurative. It's all, quote, spiritual, unquote. It doesn't really mean what it says. God is never literal, and we have to figure it out in our own minds. Everybody has a different interpretation. Don't worry about it, folks. Nothing to see here. There's no locusts coming. There's no third of mankind going to be killed. Get serious. Well, yes, we are serious, but if you ignore these warnings, then you are going to be like a virgin without oil in the lamps. We in the body of Christ don't have to worry about this because we're snatched away before the worst of it. But I am assuming, I'm going with the assumption here that my videos will survive and YouTube platform will survive the snatching away of the body of Christ, and that these videos I am making now, including my entire Revelation series, will be helpful for people then going through the tribulation. And they will say, Harold, where was this video when we need it? Harold, the locusts are coming in the door. Get the spray, Harold. Shh. Why didn't we know about MartinZender.com? I don't know, but here I am. I'm doing what I can. I can only do so much. Verily I'm saying to you, verse 34, that by no means may this generation be passing by till all these things should be occurring. I told you about the critical mistranslation in the King James Version. I'll go over it quickly because I've said it before. The King James says, I'm taking this from memory. I don't have it in front of me. In verse 34 of Matthew 24, by no means shall this generation be passing away till all these things shall be occurring. It's a shall thing. It's like this generation that's listening to me talk. So anybody that's around here, you all are going to see these things taking place. But see, Jesus is very tricky with his language because, as I told you before, scripture is finely balanced on a high wire. If you blink, you fall and there ain't no net. And you're going to look stupid, splat all over the ground with your legs over here and your arms over here. You have to pay close attention. And that's why I always insist on a correct translation. By no means may this generation be passing by to all these things should be occurring. If this is known as a contingency, if certain things had happened in that day, the kingdom would have come. What would have to have happened? The leaders in Israel would have had to accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. This coming of the kingdom was contingent upon Israel's acceptance of it, of their Messiah. But as in the wilderness, they drew back because of a lack of faith, and they were shattered in the wilderness. Shattered. And coincidentally, divinely inspired, there was 40 years Israel wandered in the wilderness. They were rebuffed. They were at the door. Were they not? Was not Israel at the door? People say, Martin, Jesus Christ would never have said, the kingdom is near, the kingdom is at the door, if it wasn't true. He never would have said that. And all I have to do is point out the simple, similar construction, similar situation back in the wilderness, Israel in the wilderness, who coming to the door of the promised land, one day's walk away, sent in the spies. They came out scared to death, except for Joshua and Caleb. Yet they said, they're too big, there's too many of them, and basically it was not trusting God. That was the basic flaw of Israel, faithlessness. And so they were turned away. Was the promised land near? Yeah, they could see it on the other side of the river. They could smell the Amalekites over there. Smells like an Amalekite. Smells like a whole tribe of them. But they couldn't go. And for 40 years, they wandered. The Acts administration was 40 years from the time of Pentecost to the time that Paul slams the door finally. And let's just, should I say, judicially, in a judicial setting in Acts chapter 28. About 40 years. Because nobody had seen this unprophesied era that we're now in, the era of the nations. They didn't know about it. Now Jesus says this, heaven and earth shall be passing by. That's true. This heaven and this earth shall be passing by. There's a third heaven coming and there's a third earth coming. Yet my words may by no means be passing by. Everything Jesus is saying here about the kingdom, about coming in thunder and lightning. See, you can't take this stuff figuratively. How could you do that? Immediately after the affliction of those days, verse 29, going back to that, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not be giving her beams, and the stars shall be falling from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. That didn't happen when Titus entered Jerusalem in 70 AD. Sorry, preterists. You're living in a fantasy land. Because you don't understand what you call the gap theory. You make fun of me and anybody that thinks God does certain things at certain times. You have the big gap here of 2,000 years because this was an unprophesied time period when there would be a new gospel going out to the nations that is predicated upon Israel's apostasy. Nobody knew that. No prophet knew it. Paul called his gospel the untraceable riches of Christ. And he says, to you, a secret am I telling. In Romans 11:25, Paul is a teller of secrets. It's unprophesied, untraceable in the Hebrew scriptures. Nobody knew about it, but we're in it now. And God's gonna take up with Israel again, just as he did with the generation after they wandered 40 years. Well, that 40 years has turned into 2,000 years. Don't panic, because why? Because Jesus says, heaven and earth will be passing by, yet my words will by no means be passing by. And Jesus didn't say that that generation would see these things happen. He says, this generation may not be passing by until these things should be occurring. See, he's in living in the relative, as he must, saying this kingdom should be coming. It should be coming. How should it be coming? Well, Israel accepts me as their Messiah. It'll come. True, as stated, true. But they didn't, because they didn't recognize the hour of their visitation. Speaking of hour, listen to this, verse 36. Now concerning that day and hour, not one is aware, neither the messengers of heaven nor the Son, except the Father only. Even the Son, I'm just taking Jesus at his words here. People tell me that Jesus is God. Except that Jesus never claimed that. He claimed to be the Son of God. But was it 1 John 3:20, God knows everything, right? God knows everything. Jesus Christ is saying here that he doesn't even know the day or the hour. But as I have pointed out to you, and if you don't know this, go to martinzender.com, September 23rd sign, Birmingham, Alabama. I give like 35 to 40 minutes explaining why I believe we are in the final years of Millennium 6. In fact, I'll have my sister link you to that public address. I went for it, ladies and gentlemen. I laid it all out of why I think we're in the final years of Millennium 6. And included is this. Now, I'm not telling you when the snatching away will occur. I don't know. But with Israel, Jesus just said the figs will give you a clue. You will be able to tell. In Israel, you will be able to tell. Remember, all the signs in Israel are kept by the stars and the moon. The moon is a measure of months. The sun's a measure of days and years. Their agricultural season fell at the same time every year. There is a pattern. The heavens is a giant chronology. It's a giant clock. It's a giant clock keeping chronology. And so Israel's kingdom will be known. Not the day or the hour, but Jesus didn't say anything about the month or the year. Let's read what he said, not what he didn't say. Well, here's what he said. Concerning the day and the hour, no one is aware. Well, that proves that nobody can know. Not so fast. Neither the day nor the hour. Did he say anything about the month or the year? No, in fact, he just said that when you see the fig tree in a certain condition, you know it's summer. So he's talking about a season. So it's more general, but it's still a time period. Nobody will ever have to say. The fact that some people are saying, well, 500 years away, kingdoms thousands of years away. Nobody can know all this. No. There are ways to know. And those who are paying attention, and I am one of those paying attention, will know. Now, I'm not of Israel, but I'm very interested in the times of Israel. And I can make a certain judgment about the proximity of Israel's kingdom. I can make a certain judgment from that, starting from that ground of how near the snatching away might be, because I know it has to happen before the kingdom is inaugurated on earth. And it even has to happen before that, because I believe it has to happen before the midpoint of the seven-year tribulation. And the seven-year tribulation starts 7 years before the kingdom comes. It immediately precedes it. So, yeah, you will be able to know the month and the year. What's happening to my lighting? I'm blowing up here. The sun's coming up. Sun's coming out. All right. Let's go to Noah, verse 37. For even at, you know, I'm not going to finish it today, am I? No, nope, I'm just not going to finish it today. I got to fix the lighting. This is bothering me. Uh-oh, wrong direction, Sander. That's as good as it gets. All right. For even as the days of Noah, thus shall be the presence of the Son of Mankind. For as they were in those days before the deluge, masticating, that is, really chewing on their food. They're not just eating their food. Oh, hell no. This lighting is horrible. They're masticating it. They're chawing on it. This is the beauty of the Concordant version. There's a different word for eat and a different word for masticate. I'm trying to be very careful how I pronounce that. They're masticating. And they're probably masturbating too. They might be masticating and masturbating at the same time. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them. To be doing that. But we all know what was going down in the days of Noah. People were, this lighting isn't any better. People were masticating, masturbating, drinking and marrying until the day on which Noah entered the ark. Then they weren't masticating so much anymore. Thus shall be the presence of the Son of Mankind. I've explored this with you in depth, and I think it's fascinating that Jesus is relating the days of Noah to the days of the end of this eon. The days of Noah ushered in the end of that eon. When Noah came out of the boat, he was coming into a new world and a new eon. That was the end of eon 2, the beginning of eon 3. Eon 3 will end in a similar way, with people not realizing what was happening, going on about their business, not paying attention to the things of God because God seems so far away, he's way out there. We don't need to understand or know because life is just going on. Merrily, merrily, we sail along until the day on which Noah entered the ark and did not know till the deluge came and takes them all away. Thus shall be the presence of the Son of Mankind. You hear that? Did not know. They did not know until the day. Until the day. That's the rapidity with which this thing is going to come. That's why Jesus said no one knows the day or the hour. But we do know that it will be rapid. It will be sudden. It will be cataclysmic. The day that the flood started was cataclysmic, my friends. And the day that will end this eon is even more cataclysmic. Yes. You wouldn't want to be a cat during that time because of that. So, but you and I don't have to worry. Paul tells us not to worry about anything. Philippians 4:6. And so, and the reason is that we are not appointed to indignation, but to the procuring of glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. It looks like another day of Matthew 24. I'm really trying. But it's so interesting, and these times are so important that we're going to finish. We're going to continue this until we finish. And finish we will. We might even consummate. I just had a thought, and I wanted to tag this on, that I think that I missed the point of the figs. There's something happens with the figs in the summer that's so obvious that they know it's summer. Like the example I gave with Ohio. When you see people swimming in swimming pools and having picnics and mowing the yard, then you know that it's summer. You know it's summer. And so the point is the obviousness of it. Like you know it's summer. It's like when you see the figs doing this and that, you don't have a discussion about whether it's summer or not. You don't have to have a meeting. You don't have to flip a coin. When you hear people mowing their lawn in Ohio and swimming in swimming pools, you don't have to flip a coin or you don't have to have a discussion. It's like, you know, it's summertime. So the time of the end is going to be obvious. And I'm telling you, I think it's obvious, honestly. Harry, I know we're having a discussion. So he's saying, well, Zender, you just said you won't have to have a discussion or flip a coin. Okay, well, I'm not having a discussion with anybody. I'm telling you, we're there. I'm not opening it up for discussion. I'm not. And I want you to listen to that video. They're recorded in Birmingham, Alabama. You tell me if you think this is up for a coin toss or a discussion.